get our feet wet over here in the Mishnah. At the beginning of the Masechta, where the Mishnah tells us that there are arba avos nezikin, hashor, habor, hamava, v'hever. There are four, as we'll see, types of nezikin, types of damages the person is liable for. Shor, which is somewhat vague, the Gemara is going to discuss over the next few blot. What that's referring to, is it referring to keren, which is an animal that gores, or is it referring to regel, an animal that tramples, or perhaps all aspects of damages that could be caused by one's animal, or one's property that's similar to an animal. The second is habar, which is a pit that one digs, where someone else then gets injured in the pit. Hamave is also vague. Bar, we know what that is. Mave and shor are somewhat vague, which is debated by the Gemara. Mave could either be adam hamazik, or it could be shein. It could be when the animal eats the property of somebody else. And hahever refers to a fire, which I like, that then goes and burns down someone else's property or damages their property. So we have these four types of nezikin. Each one is mentioned independently in the Chumash. And Rashi here explains that each one is listed over here in the order that they appear in the Torah. That shor comes before bar, which comes before mave, which comes before hever, because it's following the pattern of the way that they're listed, presumably in Parshas Mishpatim. If you look in Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of Perek Chaf Aleph, the pasuk says, "Ki yigach shor es ish oy es isha." If an animal gores, that's the first thing. Then the pasuk says, "Ki yifta ish bar." If a man will open a pit, that's the end of Perek Chaf Aleph. And then in Perek Chaf Beis, the pasuk says, "Ki yivar ish sada ocherem v'shilach es biro." A man has his animal grazing in someone else's field, and it eats of somebody else. And then kisei tayesh, if a fire goes out and damages someone else's property. So at the end of Perek Chafal, beginning of Perek Chaf Beis, the Torah has these four types of nezikin. So why is it necessary to state all four? So the Mishnah says, loy harei hashor karei hamaveh. Why do we need four types of nezikin? Why can't we just have one, one and derive the others from that one? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, loy harei hashor karei hamaveh. Shor is not similar to maveh. We would have presumed that the Mishnah would compare, there's four, one, two, three, four. We should have said, well, why isn't one? Why can't we derive two from one? The Gemara skips, why can't we derive three from one? Then of the third in the list from the first in the list. What about the second in the list? So Rashi addresses that. Why didn't it go immediately to Bar? And Rashi explains because of the order of the Mishnah and what it wanted to accomplish, it was better to start with Mave. So lo harei hashor, karei hamave. Shor is not similar from Mave, meaning we couldn't have derived Mave from Shor. And if we would have just said mave, which is again is either shein, an animal that eats someone else's property, or adam hamazik, karei hashor, we couldn't have derived keren or regel, goring or trampling, because they're not one. We could not have derived one from the other. And we'll explain why. Why and well zev zeh sheish, but why not? So we're going to explain in Tosfos. We'll see in a second. Then why is that? Because shor, we would have said, you know why you're chayv for shor, for keren? Because it's kavanasa lehazik. When an animal gores, it has intention, it knows that its horns are there. It's not like discovering its body for the first time. It knows that there are horns there. When it gores, it has intention to do damage. So okay, so then I understand why the Torah said you're chayv. However, maveh, which let's say is shein, so the animal doesn't have intention to damage. It's just, it's hungry, so it's eating. Okay, so I wouldn't have said you're chayv for shein. Maybe you're chayv if your animal gores, you're not chayv if your animal eats. And if it would have just said shein, if it would have just said your animal's eating, so I would have said, okay, because there the animal benefits from that which it's doing. You benefited from the damage that was caused, and then you're chayv. But if your animal just gores and it doesn't benefit at all, maybe you wouldn't have been chayv. So the Gemara's going to explain all that. Okay, so we couldn't have derived one from the other, because I would have said there's a reason why that one you're chayv and that doesn't extend to the other. Then the Mishnah says, if it would have said both of these, again, keren and shor, goring, which is kavanas lehazik, and shein, which is eating someone else's property, and if it only would have said those two, I would have said, yeah, they're your chayiv, lo zevizeh, sheyesh ben ruach chayiv, because they're alive. That's why you're chayiv, to guard your property, which is alive. But kareya eish, shein ben ruach chayiv, I would have said, if your fire goes out and does damage, I'm not obligated to watch over fires that I light. That's not my property in the same sense that a shor is. It's ein ben ruach chayiv, it's not alive. Yeah, it's true, I have a relationship with it, I lit the fire, but it's not the same as an animal that's alive. And I don't have to guard it in the same sense, in the same way. So maybe you're not chayiv if I create a fire that goes down and burns down someone else's property. Okay, that's why the Torah had to go out of its way to say those three. So say those three. Say Shar, Bar, Shar, Mava, and Hever. Karen, Shane, and Fire. Why do I need to say Bar? So Lo Zevizeh, Shadark, and Lele Hulahazik. All of these things move. And therefore, when you think you have to guard it better. But Karea Bar, Bar doesn't move. It's obvious, it's stationary, anybody could see it. So Karea Bar, Shane Darko, Leva Kulahazik. It didn't like surprise anybody with the bar. You know, the bar was there the whole time. Maybe it was covered over, okay, but it was wasn't visible, people weren't expecting it. There's a reason why you're chayav for bar, but at the same time, it's not as surprising as an animal that comes out of nowhere or fire that surprises somebody. So I would have said, Karea Bar, Shane Darko, Leva Kulahazik. So that's why the Torah had to go out of its way to say bar. Hatzara, Shavah, Shabahen, Shadark, and Lahazik, all of these four items, four categories. Are accustomed to doing damage, meaning we know that they do damage. Ushmiras and alecha, and you're obligated to guard them. Ukeshehizik chav hamazik v'shalim. When they do damage, you are obligated to pay tashlumei nezek, the whatever the regulations are, whatever the penalties that are involved are. B'meitav haaretz, in the best of your properties, meaning not from the inferior of your properties, but from the best of your properties. And the Gemara is going to pick apart every line of this Mishnah. But just let, I wanted to see the first three Taisis, but let's start from the third and then we'll work backwards. This Taisis is just really explaining that this loy harei zeh, loy zeh vezeh, loy zeh, lo harei hamavek, harei hashar, is not similar the way that we typically encounter that phrase throughout Shas. Usually, when the Gemara says lo harei zeh, kaharei zeh, it usually means one has a chumrah that the other doesn't have. Whereas here, it means one has a kula that the other doesn't have. Meaning there's a reason I would have said, here you're chayiv, as opposed to elsewhere, which has a kula. As opposed to, typically, the way that it appears where one has a chumrah. So the Tosfos says, perush, ein kulaso shel shor ke kulaso shel maveh. The kula of shor is not the same as the kula of maveh, because shor is kavanos lahazik, as opposed to shein, which is not kavanos lahar. Ked mefarsh l'kamon v'gemara. L'manda amar tana shor l'karno u'maveh l'shino. According to the one that holds, shor refers to goring, mave refers to eating. Mishum deshor kavanos lahazik u'mave in kavanos lahazik. When your animal gores, it knows that it's doing damage. When it eats, it doesn't. It's not aware of the fact. It doesn't intend to do damage. Ulafikach ikas erachman shor lo asi mave minei. If it had only written shark, meaning keren, if it gores, I wouldn't have necessarily inferred shame from that, because shahu kal minei, it's less severe. Because it doesn't intend to do damage. So Taisus here makes the point, ain peirut, that's just explaining the Gemara. But then Taisus explains, ve'ein peirush kashar mekoy meshe b'talmud. This is not the way this phrase usually appears in the Gemara. Loi ra izeh kizeh. Dehasam peirusho ein chumra shozeh ke chumra shozeh. There it means one chumra is not the same, meaning one source has a chumra that the other doesn't have. Ulekach ein achumras gomra zeh adin al atzara shavish abahen gorim adin. And when the Gemara says, this one has this chumrah, this one has that chumrah, the Gemara means to say is the chumrah doesn't play a role. It's rather the common denominator that does, that exists between them. So just as an example, the Mefarshim point to this Gemara Masechtas Brachos, where you see this phrase at work. The Gemara is discussing the beginning of the sixth parak of Masechtas Brachos, case of Mevarchin. How do you know that you have to make a bracha before you eat? Anybody know the conclusion of the Gemara? Yeah. What? Why do you have to make a bracha? That's the Gemara concludes, it's a svara. It's just something we could arrived at intuitively. However, the Gemara first begins with trying to find the source for it in the pasuk, not a svara. Not just a compelling argument. Once in a while, the Gemara has a compelling argument, there's enough as a source for a halacha. There's a few of them. One is Birch Sanenin. One is Hamayti Mechavero Olav Haraya. If I want to take your money, I have to bring a proof. The Gemara says it's a Svara. If I have a problem, I have to bring the proof. The burden of proof is on me. But the Gemara initially, a few of them. So the Gemara initially, though, tries to find the source from the Pasuk. So the first Pasuk the Gemara brings is a source for Birchas Hanen, and that you have to make a bracha before you eat. It's from the Pasuk by Kerem Rivai. Kerem Rivai is the fourth year in the life of a vineyard. So those grapes, the first 3 years is Arla. You can't eat them at all. The fourth year is Kerem Revai, which means that it has to be redeemed onto money, and it's like Ma'aser Sheni, has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. But the Pasuk says, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, that those that produce is Kodesh Hilulim. Hilulim is also a language of praise. Hallel, the praise. And it's B'lashin Rabim, it's in the plural. So I would have said, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, that you have to praise Hashem before you eat it. Melameh shetuunim bracha lefneihem ulachrehem. It requires a bracha before and after. Then the Gemara quotes another pasuk. We have the pasuk by Birchas Hamazon. Pasuk says in Parashas Ekev, we just had it. Va'achalta v'savata uveirachta. You ate, you were satiated, you made a blessing. When do you have to make Birchas Hamazon? It's only if you eat bread. So you have a pasuk by bread that you have to make a bracha achorayna. So the Gemara says, Ashuchan la'acharav, the fun of minayin. A bracha after we know, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. How do you have to make a bracha beforehand? Halo kasha da'asi b'kal v'chomer. If you make a bracha after, so you have to make a bracha before. So we have two sources for the making a bracha beforehand. One is Kerem Ravai, where the pasuk says Kodesh Yilulam Hashem. The other is from bread, where you have to make a bracha after. You have to make Birchas Hamazon, and certainly you have to make a bracha before. So Gemara continues. Ashkechan Kerem, this is by grapes. If we're going to start with only the first source, all we have is grapes. Shar Mina Minayin. How do we know that this extends to other items? The yalef mi kerem will learn out from grapes. Ma kerem davish enen eton bracha. Just like grapes are something you enjoy that require bracha beforehand. Av kol davish enen eton bracha. Anything that you enjoy requires a bracha beforehand. So Gemara says, no, that's not true. Because ikal amifrach, we could ask, how can you extend one from the other? Ma le kerem shechein chayev ba'oilelois. Anybody know what that is? Kerem, there's oilel. You know what it is? The young grapes, you're not allowed to take them. Just like the grapes that you drop as you're picking them from the field, you have to leave that for the yoni. So grapes have a unique thing that one has to leave part of it for the yoni. So maybe that's why, since grapes are so chomor, they're unique, that's why they require a bracha beforehand, not necessarily, though, other items, like, tomatoes or cucumbers. How do I know you have to make a bracha beforehand? Maybe it's only grapes where there's oilulois. So Gemara says, no, kama toichiyach, bread will prove the case. Ma le kama, just like bread. So Gemara says, if you have to make a bracha before eating bread, you have to make a bracha before eating other items. How do you know you have to make a bracha before eating bread? Because you have to make a bracha afterwards. V'chal v'savot v'yavot, so you have to make a bracha beforehand. If you have to make a bracha when you're full, so you have to make a bracha when you're hungry. Gemara says, no, not necessarily the case. Ma le kama shekein chayv b'chala. Bread is different, because if you bake a certain amount of bread together, you have to take off challah. There's no challah unless it's bread. So maybe bread is unique. So kerem yochiach. No, kerem will prove the point. Kerem doesn't have that chumrah. Nonetheless, you have to make a bracha beforehand. So v'chadar adin, loy roi zeh, kiroi zeh, v'loy roi zeh, kiroi zeh. This one has a chumrah of oilelois. This one has a chumrah of challah. And nonetheless, by both, you have to make a bracha. You see that it's not because of the chumrah of oilelois. It's not because of the chumrah of challah. It's rather atzad hashava shabahen davar shenen eviton bracha. Anything that you enjoy, that before you eat it, you have to make a bracha. Af kol davar shenen eviton bracha. So there, what the phrase means, lo roi zeh, kiroi zeh, means this one has one chumrah, this one has the other chumrah. From the fact that the din exists by both of them, that you have to make a bracha, you see it's not a function of either chumrah in particular, and we can derive the halacha from there to other places. That's not what our Mishnah means. That's all places means to point out. Our Mishnah is telling us that each one has a kula, and that's why you're chayiv for nezikin there. It might not extend to other places. Loi roi zeh, kiroi zeh. So look at the last, second to last line of Taisus. Taisus says, "Vashina kana talmid perusha." Here it's different. Mi b'shar mekaymais mishum dehizker hachomor tchila. Here we started with the chomor. Below zev and zeh sheyesh ben ruachayim. These two, Karen and Shane, they're alive. Maybe Seish, which is not alive, you wouldn't necessarily be chayim. So the lo harei hazeh is not really using the same, functioning in the same way as we normally encounter it in Shas. That's all Taisus means to point out. Okay, but we begin with the fact that these four Avos Nezikin appear in the Mishnah in the same order, the sequence that they appear in Parashas Mishpatim. However, Taisus Dibre Masu Hashar deals with the fact that, again, we said two of them are variables, meaning they're different possibilities, what they're referring to. Bar, we know what that is, that's a pit. Hever, we know what that is, that's fire. And we know where they appear in Parashas Mishpatim. There's Ki Yichre Ish Bar, and then there's Ki Seitei Eish, the end of Parakhaf Aleph, the beginning of Parakhaf Beis. However, two of them are variables. Shor could either be referring to Keren or Regel. Mave could either be Adam Hamazik, I damage someone personally, or Shane, an animal that I own, eats property. So Perish Bekuntris, and if you're going to follow those other possibilities, the ordering is not going to work out. So Perish Bekuntris, Kesedu Shenechtavu Ba Parashah, Sidron B'Mishnah, the same order that they appear in the Parashah, Parashah's Mishpot, and that's how they appear in the Mishnah. Even though according to the one that holds Shah, it's not referring to Karen. It's referring to Regel, Loi Havi Keseder HaParsha. Now it's not in order. De Regel Nafkalami Veshilach as Be'iroi Dechsiv Basar Bar. Okay, now we have a problem. We had Kiyigach Shar Ish as Shareyu. Kiyigach Shar Ish as. What is the Pasuk say? Kiyigach Shar as Ish or as Isha, an animal gores. Then we have Bar. Then we have Shane. And then we have Ish. But if Shar is referring to Regel, it's learned out of the same Pasuk as Shane. So then you would have Bar, Regel, Shane, Ish. That's out of order. So if Shor is referring to Rego, it's out of order. Because it's learned out of a Shilach as Biro, I let my animal graze in the field of somebody else, and it eats their produce or tramples on their items. So the Chsiv Basar Bor, now it's Bor, Shane Rego, and Eish. That's a problem. So Enfer Taisis explains, Mikol Mokoyim, it's true, it's a problem. But Shame Shor, Ksiv Kaidim Baparsha. It's true, Shar here is referring to Rego when an animal tramples on something, but when an animal gores, we know that you are chayiv for that in certain circumstances. How do we know that? From earlier on in Parsha's Mishpatim, if your animal gores somebody else and he kills him, then you have to put the animal to death. So you see you are responsible under certain contexts for your animal goring somebody else. See, even though that's not referring to damaging property, that's referring to killing somebody. From the fact that Shane Shar, the idea, the notion that I'm responsible for my animal's goring appears before Bar, it's more or less Keseder HaParsha. Even though that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. The Mishnah is referring to if my animal doesn't, not that it kills somebody, it tramples on their produce, and that's after Bar, from the fact that Shar appears in a different context before Bar, that justifies the ordering of the Mishnah. That's difficult. I understand the same similar concept, but why should that dictate the ordering of the Mishnah? Why can't the Mishnah follow the way it really appears in the Torah? Why do we have to have this engaging apologetics? Yeah.
But why can't we say the opposite as well? Meaning, like, why can't we say that Shor, like, when we say Shor, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Shor. Then we can say that by Regel, that's the context there is brought up there, but that's not the Iker of Shor.
What is the Iker of Shor?
We can say that the Iker of Shor
is goring.
Is goring.
Yeah, but the Gemara later on says, no, when the Mishnah says Shor, it means Regel. Goring is perhaps derived from there. But it's not, that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. We're going to see, it's going to have a big difference. So if the Mishnah is referring to trampling, and trampling is derived from the Pasuk after Bor, so what that the Torah does bring up one case of Shor, meaning the idea that I'm responsible for my animal beforehand, what does that have to do with the fact that the Mishnah seems to be out of order? Yeah.
Not an answer to this, but just for clarification.
Yeah.
Does this mean we're implying that Drisa is considered Kavana to damage itself?
No.
Because the whole point was that...
One is Kavana to Lahazik. According to all the... Correct. Ellie makes a great point. So according to all the different possibilities that we mentioned, the Gemara's going to have to go work it back into the Mishnah.
Right. How does Tosafot see the difference between Shor and Mavet in the Mishnah?
Sure, one would be Regel, one would be Shane.
Because first, no, but the whole reason that they were different is Kavanos
Lahazik. Yeah. When an animal tramples, it knows it's trampling. As opposed to eating, where its intention is just to sustain itself.
It may know it's eating, it may know it's trampling. Is it doing, is it trampling Kavanos Lahazik, or is it just it's walking?
No, Kavanos Lahazik. Okay. Yeah. A stampede, they know that they're killing things. Yeah. So Tosafot said it's really after Bar, but since Shor appears, in the Torah beforehand, even though it's in a different context of goring, that's enough to justify the order of the Mishnah. Tosafot goes on, it's a similar idea with regards to Maveh. Ugaman diyomar Maveh ze adam, according to the one that holds Maveh, it's not Shane, not even your animal eats someone else's produce, but an Adam Hamazik. Where is Adam Hamazik in the Torah? It's not in Parshas Mishpatim at all. It's all the way later in Parshas Emor. The Torah says, V'ish, where is this? Umake behema yishalmena, perachav da'ot, pasachav alef. If you hit an animal, you have to pay. Umake Adam, you must. If you hit your parents, you have to put to death. Okay? But if you hit someone else's animal, you have to pay. That's all the way later in Parshas Emor. Why is it the third in the list? Parshas Emor is the Sefer Vayikra, way after Parshas Mishpatim. Dainu Adam Da'azik. Okay, here the Mishnah didn't bother, wasn't concerned with that because it's not even part of the same sequence. It's so much later in Parshas Emor, we can plop it in wherever we see fit, wherever it's convenient.
But that doesn't really answer with Rashi, though.
It doesn't. It doesn't. V'shano keseder, lo harei, the sefer shema v'kodem lehever. We wanted to fit it into our lo hareis. The lo harezek, harezek. However, Rabbeinu Tam gives a different explanation. Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, no, again, this shame. The shame Adam, the notion that a person is responsible for his actions, ksiv b'parsha koidem, says in the Torah before fire. Because if you look back in Parshas Mishpatim, again, the Pasuk says, kisei tse eish u'macha koitzim, but before that, the Pasuk says, ki yignov ish shor oiseh. If I steal the animal of my friend. So that's after Bar. If you look back, you can look it up in the Chumash. That's the end of Perichof Aleph. Before Eish, that I'm obligated if I steal from somebody else. So since I'm responsible for stealing, and that comes before Bar, I'm sorry, that comes before Eish, so shame Adam is included in the Torah before Eish. So Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, the shame Adam, Siva Parsha Kodem, later on, the Gemara in Daf Dalet is going to have many more than four Avos Nezikin. There's going to be more, 24. And one of them is Geneva. So since there is some kind of action that I'm responsible for, if I steal my friend's animal, I'm responsible for that, shame Adam is written before Eish, and therefore Adam appears in the Mishnah before Eish, even though that's not what the Mishnah is referring to, stealing. The Mishnah is referring to... if I damage somebody else, and that's really or property of somebody else, and that's really in Parshas Emor, doesn't matter. From the fact that the Torah mentions Adam and my responsibility for my actions before Eish, it appears in the Mishnah beforehand. But again, it's confusing. What is this shame business? The fact that it appears in a different context before Eish, why should that take precedence in the Mishnah? Yeah.
Well, why does it matter also? I mean, like, we're learning it out all... like we're learning these out. Why does the order matter in this case?
Well, we want to follow the pattern of the Torah, which I think is something we would try and adhere to.
Right.
So the Rishonim are trying to fit it in. Why did they choose this ordering? So you could have said it's arbitrary, but the Rishonim are choosing to say, no, it's following the pattern of the Torah. So if it follows the pattern of the Torah, how, according to the other variations and possibilities that the Gemara is going to mention for Shor and Maveh, it doesn't. Right. So Torah is to say, no, it really does. Because you're responsible for the actions of your shor appears in a different context earlier, first. And the fact that you're responsible for your actions, Adam Mamazik, appears third. Yeah.
Well, you need to know that Tosos says the reason for the first one is shame, and then we need Rabbeinu Tam to come along for the second one and say, oh,
why didn't he say it by others? Interesting point also. Interesting point. Very interesting point. That I don't know. You're right. Interesting point. But it's a similar idea. So if Gusman is... was Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael after the war, but of course he was on the Bezin of Chaim Oizer in Vilna before the war at the age of 18. So he was somewhat of a child prodigy. But he became, when I was in Eretz Yisrael for the year, he was more of a relatively unknown personality, other than the fact that he had a few Svarim, Kuntrasi Shiurim, Abova Kama, Kiddushin, and one other Masechta, I forgot which one, maybe Bam Mitzia. Now they put out more, and he became more well-known. First of all, they published an article book about him, but he became more well-known also because his yeshiva, Netzach Yisrael, is in the middle of Rehavia. He might have been there. So in my time, when I was in yeshiva, it was a run-down, literally, a hovel. It was the wonderful place to learn in Yerushalayim because he wanted to feel like what a yeshiva looked like, you know, in the 40s and the 50s or whatever. So you felt that way when you walked into this place. It reeked in. It was a geschmack. And it was totally empty. It was deserted. Except for the son-in-law who used to sit in the front and whatever. Now, Chevra moved in over there and rebuilt the shul, and it's a very exclusive neighborhood now. And Baruch Hashem, Yeshiva Netzach Yisrael has been the beneficiary of that and has been rebuilt. So, but in his first Simon, Amseches Bava Kama, Rav Guzman addresses this point with Taisvis, and he comes up, or suggests, fascinating answer, which is really going to lead us into much of our discussion tomorrow. But Rav Guzman suggests, L'achar ha'iyu nira li l'chadesh, this is a fundamental point. And it really opens up much of the discussion in Hilchos Nezikin. And that is that Nezika Misvara Havamina Shizema Uvas Lo Yuchal Liskain. I would have thought if you damage someone else's property, it's over. You did an Aveira. It was wrong. You shouldn't have done it. You should have guarded your property better. But once it's over, it's over. Why are you going to pay the guy money? The damage is already over. It's done. And I would have thought you don't have to pay anything. You were shot in this. What are you going to do? It's over, though. It's a gzeres hakosuv who believes shum svara. It's a gzeres hakosuv that you have to pay. Shemazik mama kaveru chayv l'shalem. You would have said, we come from our orientation in America, that if you damage someone else's property, you know, of course you have to pay. So, and we perhaps that's, you know, a function of kind of, you know, the biblical paradigm. But either way, if this one claims that before we're not for the pasuk and chumash, you have to pay, I would have said, of course you don't have to pay. It's the wrong thing to do, but once it happened, it happened. But the Torah comes along and makes gzeres because you have to pay. Just like you have to bring a carbon for an avera, that's a total gzeres hakasev. You have to pay chamesh shvoim on the 30th day after your son, first son is born. It's a gzeres hakasev that you have to pay, and that the payment goes to the damaged party. So therefore, since it's a gzeres hakasev, meaning what is the gzeres hakasev teaching me? That if my property damages you, I'm responsible for it, and the way you make good for it is by what do you do to rectify the situation? Do you pay the other fellow money? That's gzeres hakasev. But we're not for that gzeres hakasev. What would I have thought? I would have thought it shouldn't have happened, but I'm not responsible for it in any way. Once it happened, what can I do? Bad luck. But I should have been guarded it better. But it's over, fafalin. There's nothing I can do now. So therefore, the Torah comes and says, no, you're obligated to pay. So v'hashta nira, says of Guzman, the lo chayva hateres hamazik l'sham el b'tanai sheyesh lo mikodem chalosh shemazik. I would have thought, if property damages, perhaps I'm not even responsible. Meaning, maybe I didn't even do anything wrong. If my property damages, you know, or if I, even if I damage somebody, how do I know I'm responsible for that? It's kind of gzeres hakasev. So the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, no, you're obligated to, you're responsible for these actions, and you have to make good on them, you have to pay money. So therefore, if Guzman suggests, perhaps that's why Tosfos stresses that it doesn't depend on the particular pasuk specifically that's addressing the issue that's discussed by the Mishnah, of Adam Hamazik Mamon, a man who damages someone else's property, or shore, which tramples as opposed to goring, it depends on shame shore and shame Adam. Because here the Torah is being mechadesh to us that you are responsible for the actions of your animal, you're responsible for your actions, and you have to react to the damage that you cause. So even though this pasuk in particular is not the one that the pasuk Mishnah is referring to, it is teaching us the more perhaps bigger idea that I'm responsible for the actions of my shor. So says Tosfos, even though the pasuk of regel appears after bor in the Torah, and perhaps shor in the Mishnah is referring to regel, trampling, since shame shor appears beforehand, meaning it shows me that I'm responsible for the actions of my animal, that appears first, even though it's not the pasuk the Mishnah is referring to, but that teaches me that I'm responsible for the actions of my shor. That comes first. That's why the Mishnah chose shor first. Because that's teaching you, mechadesh, this idea, which I wouldn't have known on my own, that I am obligated for the responsible for the actions of my shor. And Adam as well. Even though Adam Amazik is mamon, I damage your properties later on in Parshas Emor, the fact that I'm responsible for my actions, if I steal your property, I have to pay it back, that already appears before Eish. So therefore in the Mishnah, that appears before Eish as well. Shame Adam, meaning that which teaches me this, you know, global idea, or deeper idea, that I'm responsible for my actions vis-a-vis your money, your property, that comes before Eish. So therefore, Adam in the Mishnah also comes before Eish, even though the Adam that the Mishnah is referring to is not stealing, it's damaging your property. That specific pasuk comes after Eish, since the notion that I'm responsible for my actions vis-a-vis your property comes first, that's why it's listed in the order of the Mishnah. Rav Guzman has another proof, he has many things that he attaches, you know, points that he wants to resolve with this suggestion of his, but one interesting one is with regards to the language of the Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah, if you notice, begins with describing fire. How? How does the Mishnah describe fire? Hever. Yeah? But if you look later on in the Mishnah, how does it describe fire? Eish. Is it Eish? If it's Eish, Eish is hever. So they're really synonyms. Yeah, but why did the Mishnah choose one and then switch to the other? So that's what the Shita Mekubetzes over here, Ois Beis, asks. Hitcher Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Osher. Lama Shina L'Shoina B'Sofo L'Masni Kareha Eish V'Lotani Kareha Hever. When the Mishnah is explaining why we needed all four, we couldn't have derived one from the other, why does it switch from Eish, from Hever to Eish? Umarikatz Kosav HaHever Al-Shem HaZeiko Kari Hever. It's because of the Torah, it's called Hever. I'm sorry, it's because, yeah, because Hamavir as Habe'era. Shalem Yishalem, Hamavir as Habe'era. That's how it's described by the Torah, as a Be'era. Ulahachi Hachi Gabi Nezikin Karlei Hever. Ulakamandalo Hiskir Nezikin Karlei Eish. Once, you know, we establish what the category is called, it's called Hever, now we can describe it as Eish. Yeah, but why switch back and forth? Why does it start with Hever and then switch to Eish? So the answer is the name of the category is Hever. The damage that it wreaks is, or that it perpetrates is through fire. But why does it have to begin with Hever? So if Guzman suggests, but again, perhaps it's because the first four items that are listed in the Mishnah, at least in the first line, is just telling us that you're responsible for these four categories. That's what the Torah is being mechayev you. Either psuk him in the exact order of that which we're about to discuss, of property damaging property. No, it could be that the Sheh Regel is after Bor and Adam is much later. But the fact that you are, the notion that you're obligated, responsible, to make good for these, or responsible for the actions of your, you know, your animal, your Bor, yourself, and your fire, that the Torah establishes a responsibility. And therefore, at the beginning, the Mishnah at least invokes the language of the Pasuk. To tell me this is a shem mazik. You are responsible for this item. Even though later on we're going to discuss in more colloquial terms as Eish. We're establishing that first that you're responsible for these four things. Yeah, Benny.
Could the order also be which is more likely to occur?
I don't know if the Rishonim suggest that. Mary Berman just suggested it's perhaps because it rhymes. I don't know. Others suggest it's the name of a town, Shin Beis Mem. Hey, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
That works well, but according to Rashi, when he says Hever, the Pasuk he quotes is Kiseitzei Eish.
Kiseitzei Eish. The Pasuk begins Eish, and then it concludes Shalem Yishalem HaMavir Es HaBe'era.
So then why not Eish versus HaBe'era?
Yeah, but when it says Shalem Yishalem HaMavir Es HaBe'era,
the Eish is called,
that's when you're Chayesh.
Yeah.
It's a strange, why does it switch? The Torah switches. So maybe you can say, look, the Torah interchanges them in the same Pasuk. So maybe we can interchange them as well. But Rav Guzman suggests it's because one establishes this is a category of Nezikin, the second one discusses the actual responsibility that you bear. So again, but he claims that the ordering is establishing responsibility for these category of actions. Okay, we'll have to get back to that Emunat Hashem tomorrow. But let's move on, or back, to the first Tosfos, which is, seems to be entirely linguistic, but perhaps is a unique message for us as we begin the Zman over here in Shiva Sabeni Yitzchokhan. So the Mishnah says, the Taisa asks like this. Taisa says, Arba Ovois Nezikin is Dukta Deloitana Hain. Here it doesn't say Arba Ovois Nezikin Hain. There are four types or categories in Nezikin. Kamohako, but sometimes it just doesn't say Hain. And there are times that it doesn't say Hain. There also, later on, the Gemara is going to say, there are 13 Avos Nezikin, it doesn't say Hain. There are 4 Mechutzei Kapara, it doesn't say Hain. There are. However, is Dukti de Katani Hain? Sometimes when the Mishnah lists, you know, a number of 4 items, it says Hain. De Katani Arba Shoimrin Hain. There are 4 types of Shoimrin. There are Hain. Uva arba Rosh Hashanah, Hain. There are 4 types of Rosh Hashanah. As we know, there are 4 times during the year when different items are judged. In Yonadiyama. V'im Taimar, Amailo Ka'omar, Arba Ovos Nezikin, Hain. So to hear the Gilyan Ataisis asked the same question. So Taisis already said, because sometimes it says Hain, sometimes it doesn't say Hain. The Gilyan Ataisis asked the same thing. Amailo Ka'omar, Arba Ovos Nezikin, Hain. Kid the Katani Dal Rosh Hashanah, Hain. There are 4 Rosh Hashanah. It didn't really want to say that there's a list of 4. It was just discussing 4 of them. So that's why it doesn't say Hain. It's not a set. he says, "Ksas kasha," if this is really not true. The Gemara Mukhak, the Nachas Tana Leminyana. Later on, the Gemara Dav Dalet on Mabez is going to say, no, our Tana holds there are 4. Other Tana held there are 13. Another Tana held there are 24 categories in the Zikin. So our Tana means to say that there are 4. So my time, about Tani Hani, Lekach, why doesn't it say Hain or Hani? No, says Taisis there. Sometimes it says Hain, there's sometimes it doesn't say Hain, there's no rhyme or reason. To when it says hain, when it doesn't say hain, arba roshe hashana hain, but arba avos nezikin without the hain, the hay and the nun there are. Seems like inconsequential. However, if you look at the Chassam Sefer in his kiddushim at the beginning, the Masechta, he quotes in the name of the Ramah Mipanu that perhaps this is significant. Chassam Sefer says v'had sidron hatana zeh haseder v'gam lo tani hain. He also discusses why is it in this order. Why doesn't it say Hain? V'dochak atma b'lishno v'kroysa ma've atek loshen ramah. This is the Ramah Mipanu basar ma'mor. Ramah Mipanu, of course, one of the early Mikubalim. So he explains that it doesn't say Hain. V'nishma atana shaloi loseis havoy l'nezikin. Not to give traction to the koyach hamazik. To those forces in the world which seek to do us harm, there are 4 avos nezikin, because there are also 4 directions from which we're attacked by the Yetzer Hara. There are 4 koiches of hezek that the Yetzer Hara attempts to make us, to encourage us to violate averus. He attacks us from all 4 directions, or perhaps in 4 different ways. And in fact, if you look at the Teres Hamagid, this is the Divrei Torah of the Magid of Mizrich, who was one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. So he suggests that these Dalet Avos Nezikin really correspond to 4 types of Averus, the most damaging and harmful types of Averus. The Dalet Avos Nezikin grew in Yesh Mazikin L'Adam. The damage a person. Hashar, what do cows or bulls do? An ox, what do? They graze. Histaklus, what do? They sit around looking, staring at different things. So that refers to histaklus, bedvarim she'enim ruim l'histakel. They look at things that they shouldn't be looking at. Habar, a pit, is empty, sits idle. That means a person wasting time. Yesh adam harlech batel upanu me hatar me amitzus machshavas kedushas. So one dangerous aver that the Yetzer Hara attempts to encourage us to do is to look at things we shouldn't be looking at or to waste our time. Hamaveh hu hashen, that refers to eating macholas asuras. V'hainu hamoyser sechila, overeating, eating macholas asuras. V'hever hu ha'eish shokash, and the fire refers to the fire of anger. But either way, these 4 avos nezikin refer to 4 either averos specifically or 4 directions or different ways that the Yetzer Hara attempts to seduce us to performing an avera.
What were the last 2?
The last 2, one is eating machalos asuros and anger, kas, which is signified by fire. Yeah.
So why would it just, going back to the chassam sofer, why would Hain get...
Hain gives them traction. You're acknowledging their existence. We don't even want to acknowledge your existence. Arba avos nezikin, that's all we're going to say about it. I don't want to say Hain, there should be, there are. I don't want to justify its existence, acknowledge it. It's there, but that's all I'm going to say about it.
So do you think the Chassam Sofer says about other cases where it doesn't say Hain?
Would it fit in with the Abba Mechusa Kapara? I don't know. But that's what he says over here. But that regards to Abba Ovis Nezikin, that we don't want to even acknowledge their existence, because these 4 categories of Nezikin don't really only correspond to these 4 categories of property damages, but on a deeper level, perhaps corresponds to the 4 Kaychas of Nezikin that the Yetzer Hara attempts to be mazik us, to damage us and to seduce us, to coerce us, to encourage us to perform averus. And this notion is found as well in the Shlach Kodesh, writes in Parashas Mishpatim, that we have Arba Ovis Nezikin, 4 categories of Hezek, that really corresponds to 4 Koichos of Tumah of the Yetzer Hara, and that corresponds to the 4 terms that I mentioned the Pasuk can say for Tehillim, V'hu Rachum, Yechaper Ovoin, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives, is merciful, he forgives sin. Ovoin is sin, that begins with an ayin. Velo Yashris, he doesn't destroy us, but that's really just another form of Mashris, which means destruction. begins with the letter mem. V'hirba lahashiv apoy, that he controls his wrath. V'lo yair kol chamasai, and he does not kindle his anger against us. Shehem, what are they, Rosh Tevis? Ayin, mem, aleph, and ches. Avoin, mashkis, af, and chema. And that is v'remez, arba shaman. So we have these four categories of destruction that the Yetzer Hara seeks to visit upon us, which are Rosh Tevis, ayin, mem, aleph, and ches. And corresponding, what protects us from these four different strategies of the Yetzer Hara? That's why we also have in Parashas Mishpatim four shomrim. We have four types of watchmen. Who are the four types of watchmen, Rabbi Yisai? We have the shomer chinam, the guy who's not the unpaid watchman. What is he chai for?
Negligence.
He's chai for gneva. I'm sorry, he's only chai for negligence, for pshia. Not for gneva veda, if it gets lost or stolen. Then we have the shomer sacher, the paid watchman. And the socher, who's the same, the renter, who's the same responsibility as the shomer shachar. The renter, the paid watchman, they're chai for gneva veda, but not for oinetz, if an accident occurs. And we have the shoyo, who's chai even for accidents. But we have four shomrim to remind us to protect ourselves from the four mazikim, the four strategies of the Yetzer Hara to encourage us to do averus. We have the four shomrim. And the Shema Kaddish continues that these four shomrim correspond to the four letters of the Shem Havaya. He says that's why two of the shomrim are the same level of responsibility. Shomer Sachar and Socher have the same level of responsibility. So you have four shomrim, but really only three levels of responsibility. The Shomer Chinam is only chayiv for pshia if he's negligent. Shomer Sachar and the Socher are chayiv for gneva ben aveda if it gets lost or stolen. And the Shoyal, the borrower, is chayiv even if an accident occurs. So you have four shomrim with only three levels of chiyuvim. In the Shem Havaya, how many letters are there? Four. But how many different letters are there?
Three.
Because two of them, right, are hayes. So you have the four letters of the Shem Havaya correspond to the four shomrim. And these four shomrim are there to protect us from the four strategies of the Yetzer Hara. And continues of Shimshon Ashtrapaya, where Shimshon Ashtrapaya, Rabbi said, you don't know, Shimshon Ashtrapaya was killed in the Gzeres Tach V'tat, but he was one of the greatest Mikubalim. So Shimshon Ashtrapaya claims that that's why in Parshas Yisroi, the Pasuk also says Yisroi told Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint four courts underneath him. He saw Moshe Rabbeinu was inundated with people coming to him day and night. So he told him to appoint, look over here, Isaiah, the Pasuk of Parashas Yisroi, he told him to appoint Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meois, those who are in charge of 1,000, those who are in charge of 100, Sarei Chamishim, those who are in charge of 50, Sarei Asaros, those who are in charge of 10. What is it, Barashi Tevis? Alofim, that's Apoi, Meois, Mashchis, Chamishim, Chamosoi, Aseres, is Ovoin. Correspond to these four koyachos of Hezek that the Yetzer Hara tries to strategies the Yetzer Hara tries to use to encourage us to perform averus. Avahu rachumi chaper avoin v'yashris v'boshiv apoy v'yir kachamosoi. Says of Shimshon Ashtrapaya, that's why Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu appoint sorry alofim sorry meos sorry chamishim sorry asaros also v'roshi tevis aleph mem ches and ayin. We have to protect ourselves on all four sides from the koyachos of the Yetzer Hara who encourages us. We have to guard ourselves on all four sides with the four shomrim. Talmud Yerushalmi says in Masechtas Maaseros something fascinating. He says, "Ein meruba misheishes imei breishis." Most things that were created in the world, if you think about it, are round, circular. Very few things, if any, I challenge you to find anything that's naturally square or rectangle. Many man-made things are square or rectangle. Nothing that's part of Sheshis and Mebreshis is a square or rectangle. And that's what Talmud Yerushalmi says. Talmud Yerushalmi says everything is round or circular. But we have many mitzvahs, of course, that are square. What do we have that's square? Tefillin, of course, has to be square. The Harabayis was 500 amos by 500 amos. That was square. Beis HaMikdash. Was square, the Aron is square, the Mizbeach is square, so many mitzvahs that are square, even though nothing that's part of creation is square, many mitzvahs that we have are square. And in fact, a house that's not square is not kadosh. How do you know? Mishnah says in Maseches Nigoyim, look over here, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Aleph. If you have a round house, Eino Mitame B'Nigoyim, it can't accept Tumas Nigoyim. Because in order to accept Tumah, one first has to have the potential for Kedusha. And since there's no potential for Kedusha in a circular home, it can't accept Tumas Negoim. How do you know? Because the Pasuk says in Parashas Tazria, Mitzayra, Bekiros Habayis. It says it twice. Bekiros Habayis, Bekiros Habayis. Bekiros is plural. That means a minimum of two. It says it twice. Two times two is four. So Mishnah says in Masechtas Negoim, in order for a house to accept Tumas Negoim, it has to have four walls. If it's a circular home, it can't accept Tumas Negoim. That's what the Pasuk, we read it all the time. In Parashas Shlach, we don't pay attention to that, which it means. But the Pasuk says, when the Mu'argim came to view Eretz Israel, they saw Arim Gedolos, Betzurois Gedolos. They saw big fortified cities. But Rashi there says, Rashi says, they lived in circular homes. I mean, they were telling them, what do you mean they lived in circular homes? So Manchester Rosh Yeshiva explains in a safe, a year of Adas. He was, the Meragim were telling him, there's no point of conquering Eretz Yisrael, there's no Kedusha there. Meaning, it's going to be difficult, but there's not even any Kedusha to be found in Eretz Yisrael. But Haraya, they all live in circular homes. In order for a home to have Kedusha, it has to have four walls. That's what we have, four, many mitzvahs that are square with four sides. Even though most things that occur in the creation are circular or round, mitzvahs are square. In order for a Kedusha to be found in a home, it has to be square. Why does it have to be square? Why? Why does it have to have four walls? So the Ari HaKodesh explains based on Gemara Baba Basra, but the Gemara tells us, Chapeh HaMebeis, this world is created like an achsadra. What's an achsadra? Achsadra is a porch, which is open, says Rashi, on one side and closed on the other three. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates us, like the Torah begins with the letter Beis. Bereishis bara elikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world like an asadra, like the letter Beis, which is closed on three sides, open on the fourth. It says that Ari HaKadosh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity if we want to perform averus. We're born with three walls. A natural tendency to trend towards mitzvahs. Davening, connecting with Hashem, that's what we want to do. It feels right. There's a side though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us bechira. He gives us the choice to do averus. It's there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us with three walls. That we have an atiyah to do mitzvahs. And what's our avodah in this world? How does Torah begin with the letter Beis? How does Torah conclude all the way at the end of Torah Shebaal Peh? Hashem Yivarech Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom. Not Tanakh, but the Torah Shebaal Peh, the last mission of Masechtas Uksim, concludes with a mem sofis, with a closed mem. Says the Ari HaKadosh, our job in this world is to close off the fourth side and to build a mechitza there, and to refrain from doing averus. That's what the pasuk means in Sefer Tehillim. The Megala Amukos claims this is what the pasuk means in Sefer Tehillim. Ki kol Elohei ha'amim elilim. We refer to avodah zara as avodas elilim. What does elilim mean? So Megala Amukos claims it's a Rosh Tevis. Ein lahem yecholes lasos mechitza. They can't build that fourth wall. Elilim ein lahem yecholes lasos mechitza. In order to build a bris, a covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to build that fourth mechitza. Continues Megala Amukos. This is fantastic. He says bris, Gematria 6:12, mechitza 153, mechitza, 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 four times 153, 6:12. In order to build a bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a relationship with Hashem, we have to build a mechitza on all four sides. To go from the bays of Bereishis to the mem, to build that wall on the fourth side. Perhaps it was in that zechus we were zeich to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Zeich to be redeemed from Mitzrayim because we closed ourselves off on all four sides. As we know, the Mishnah says, the Medrash says, bezchus four things. We redeemed from Mitzrayim because we sealed ourselves off on all four sides. If Tzadik says, that's what we say in Havdalah. Four Havdalos, Lahavdil, Ben Kodesh Lechol, Ben Or Ben Yisrael La'amim. No, Ben Kodesh Lechol, Or Lachayshach Yisrael La'amim. We have to seal ourselves off on all four sides from the kachs of the Yetzer Hara, 4 degrees of separation we have to have in order to create a bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the best way to do this is through Limud HaTorah. That's what the Gra claims, Pasuk refers to Limud HaTorah, V'dibar Tabam. You should speak in it. In it refers to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'dibar Tabam, in it. Why is it called it? V'dibar Tabam. So the Torah writes, it's Gematria 42. This is the Torah. In Hilchos Sefer Torah, you have to have 42 lines in every Yeria, in every parchment of the Sefer Torah. You look at a Sefer Torah, that's 42 lines. V'gematria Bum. The Gra claims, no, it's because the Torah begins with Beis, and it ends, Torah Shebaal Peh ends with the letter Mem. Then we have to transition from the letter Beis to the letter Mem. How do we do that? How do we close ourselves off on the four sides to protect ourselves from the Yetzahara? The way that we do that is through learning Torah. Learning Torah allows us to walk around with walls around ourselves, not in an exclusive sense, not in a closed-off sense, but in a protective sense. That we're protected from the Yetzahara wherever we go. What shields us is if we build mechitzas around ourselves on all four sides, and the way we're able to do that is through Limud HaTorah. So as we're here in YU is much like an achsadra. There's many opportunities for Kedusha all around us, but there is always that fourth side which is open, and our job is to build a mechitza, not a restrictive mechitza, an exclusive mechitza, but a mechitza that's protective. Protects our environment of yeshiva, that protects us as individuals from the kaychas of the Yetzihara. And the way to go about that, to protect ourselves from the Arba Avos Nezikin, is to dwell within the Arba Koisle Beis HaMedrash, within the walls of the Beis HaMedrash. And Mirza Shem Rabbeis, if we do that, we'll be zeichet to all of us to have here in yeshiva, V'asuli Mikdash, V'sachanti B'soich Chom, as an end of Mem. It should be B'soich Mem. If we want Kedusha, it has to be in the letter Mem. That's not my Dvar Torah, that's Magala Mukos. If we want Kedusha, has to be b'soich mem. We have to surround ourselves with the arba kais le'beis hamedrash. If we do that, we'll have a productive zman. Okay.